beautifully, beautifully done. Has the Lord been good to you? Say amen. Amen. Aren't you glad He's always good tonight? Amen. Where in the world would we be if God could be bad? And we're glad He's always good. All 3, 4, and 5-year-olds, now's your time. All 3, 4, and 5-year-olds, now's your time for your special class. I appreciate those who are serving with you there to give you a special time tonight. We thank the Lord for that. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 again this evening. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. This is part 2 to a message that I began. I do not remember when I began it. But anyway, recently I began this message on Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And I'm preaching on this entire chapter. And we're still not going to get through this tonight, but we're going to get a major part of it done, God willing, as we're walking through this book with Solomon, as he's an old man, remember, looking back on his life, and he's giving us some great, great advice, some counsel from the Word of God for our life today. Let's pray together, and then I'll give you this thought and continue with it. Father, give us understanding of Your Word tonight. Speak to our hearts. Bless the 3, 4, and 5-year-olds in their special class, the nursery, and those working there. We give You honor and praise for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just while I'm thinking about it, I believe the Lord's prompted this. If you work in the nursery, would you raise your hand? You work in the nursery? Some form or fashion, would you work in the nursery? I want you to know that I appreciate your service back there. No doubt about that. I'm telling you, that's some of the unsung heroes. I'll tell you one thing. If all the babies were in here, we'd know it. Amen? No doubt about that. You say, well, I'm sitting beside one. I'm not talking about that kind of baby, all right? I'm talking about those babies that just cry and all of that, and they take care of dirty diapers back there, all these kind of things. I just want them to know every now and then that I appreciate them. I mean that, and thank the Lord for them. You have a service in the King's service by taking care of babies, no doubt about that, and I appreciate your service so very much. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 1. Solomon says, "For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them." Notice the phrase, the opening phrase, "All this I considered in my heart." And I began a message that I entitled, "Things to Consider in Our Heart." He's saying, Solomon, after he comes out of chapter 8, and remember chapter 8, things aren't going well. But he comes into chapter 9 and he says, "I'm considering some things in my heart." And I want to give you part 2 to this message here. I remind you now that Solomon, as he's speaking in chapter number 8, now we're in chapter 9, but I'm going back to chapter 8 because it lays groundwork for these thoughts. Solomon is speaking about how to have a shining face in the midst of the troubles of life. And as we move into chapter 9, we read Solomon's words, how he said, "I'm considering these things in my heart." And it's this phrase that captured me. There are several things that Solomon speaks about throughout this chapter that we would all do well to consider in our heart. In other words, what he talks about are things that we should not just let go in one ear and out the other ear, but rather let them get into our hearts. These are things that we'll look at here that should be taken seriously. Now, we've already looked at 3 of these. Let me just tap them on the head. The first thing that we ought to consider in our heart and not just let it go in one ear and out the other is we ought to consider how we are in God's hands. This is in verse number 1. Also found in verse number 1, we considered that, and we ought to consider in our heart, that life is not karma. You can go back and get this just in case you'd like to do that to hear me talk on these things in detail. The third thing that we looked at is found in verses 2, 3, and 12, and that is that death is coming to all. Now, I've already preached on those things. You can go back and get them if you choose to do that. We pick up our study with the fourth major thing here. And the fourth major thing is found in verses 4, 5, and 6. Let me read it and I'll give it to you. It says here in verse number 4, "For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun." Notice that phrase, under the sun. He's talking about on earth. Now, you and I know that there's hope beyond the grave. Amen. And we know that there's rewards beyond the grave. But he's talking about life on earth. And the fourth thing I want you to see with me that we ought to consider in our heart is that, number four, death ends some things. In other words, with death comes the end of some things. Now, as we come to these verses, we read how Solomon brings out that death puts an end to some things. Not all things, but some things. Now, the things that he mentions here that death brings to an end, let me give this to you. Letter A under this. First of all, death ends hope. Now, we're talking about on earth. Look at verse number 4. For to him that is joined for all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Now, in this verse, Solomon says that there is hope to all the living, and a living dog is better than a dead lion. Now, in Solomon's day, a dog was a despised, despicable animal. And the lion was the king of the jungle. Here's the point Solomon's trying to make, is that death ends hope on this earth. Now, the key phrase here is right here, on this earth. As a side note, let me say this to you. We know that for a child of God, death brings us face to face with our hope, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. But in this context, we're not talking about hope beyond the grave. We're talking about the hope that you can have things done on earth. Have you ever come to a point where you're like, there's no more hope for that? That's beyond hope. There's no way that anything can happen positive here on earth. You ever had a situation like that? Here's what Solomon's saying. As long as there's life, there is hope. I'm glad for this. Now stay here with me now. Therefore, if you are alive today, there are no hopeless situations on earth with God. None. This is what Solomon's trying to say. We ought to let this get in our heart. He's saying, folks, listen, on this earth, now beyond this earth, thank God for the hope that we have in Jesus. Amen. But he's not talking about beyond life. He's talking about on earth. And he's saying on earth, a living dog is better than a dead lion. In other words, if you had your choice, no doubt you would take the lion. But when the lion's dead, there's more hope on earth for a living dog than there is a dead lion. I'm saying here, I like it the way it's been put, the Lord is teaching us something about our priorities and about how important it is to do what we must do, what we can do, what we should do while we are living. Don't ever believe that it's beyond hope. Don't ever believe that there's hopeless situations. No, if you're alive, God can work in any situation. This is the fourth thing. Number one, death ends hope. Secondly here, we learn that death ends opportunity. We see this in verses 5 and 6. Now in these verses we read how the dead have no more reward on this earth. Their affections, where he talks about envy and hatred and joy, or whatever that is there that he's talking about, love, and verse 6, love and hatred and envy, it's all perished. Their affections, their emotions are perished, and there's no more portion. You put all these things together, what he's saying, we see that death brings all earthly opportunity to an end. In other words, the way the Lord spoke to me in these verses is how the opportunity to receive rewards, I'm talking about rewards, the opportunity to love and not hate right here, and realize that there's no more portion to gather when we die. Those opportunities end with death. Here's the point. Make sure that you're spending your life laying up rewards in heaven and loving and not wasting your time hating. See, death brings about the end of all earthly opportunity. It's been put this way. Life on earth is the only arena of opportunity for accomplishment and rewards. Therefore, don't waste it. As one man said, the great missionary explorer, David Livingston, he related that when his children were small, he had no time for them. And when he finally had time, he had no children. Did you hear what I just said? That's the great missionary David Livingstone. He had an opportunity while he was living to influence his children. But by his own admission, he had no time for them when they were growing up. But when he finally had time, he had no children. In other words, may I just put this to you? The opportunities that you have to do something for God only last as long as your life does. That's what he's saying. He's saying with death, death brings an end to some things. And what death brings an end to on this earth, key phrase, on this earth, it brings to death, it brings to an end all hope. As long as there's life, there's hope. If you're living, there's hope. But on top of that, your opportunity to love and your opportunity to do right and your opportunity to earn rewards, that all ends when your life ends. Now I'm going somewhere really there's really just one major thought that Solomon's pointing here, and we're just hitting it from different angles here. The fourth thing we notice with Solomon, things that we ought to consider in our heart, is that death ends some things. Then let me move to the fifth major thing, and we'll not get any further than this tonight. The fifth major thing, if you're keeping notes with me, is found in verses 7 through 10. Let's read these verses, then I'll give you the main thought. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. You say, what's he saying here? Here's the fifth major thing. Death should motivate us to action. Let me say it again. Death should motivate us to action. Now in these verses, Solomon continues his thoughts about death. And he tells us that because death is coming, it should motivate us to action. In other words, here's a question. What does the approach of death mean to me right now? How should the fact that I am going to die, unless the Lord comes back first, how is the fact that I cannot change, I am going to die? Aren't you glad you came to church tonight? I'm going to die. I don't know when it's coming. We're not to boast of tomorrow. There's a lot that goes in this. We're not promised another second, not another breath, not another heartbeat. We know that to be true, right? Amen. How should that affect our life now? Solomon's saying this. Point three, death is coming to everybody. Point four, death puts some things to bed. It puts some things to death. There's some things it ends. It ends all earthly hope. I mean, if you want to get something done, get it right, do it while you're alive. Also, it ends opportunity. There are certain things that we have opportunity to do for the Lord here on earth, and it's the only opportunity we have to do it. So take advantage of it. Then he goes on to say this, because all of these things are true, let me give you three things to do. There's three of them right here. Because death is looking us right in the eyeballs, and there's no way we can avoid it, there's no way we can get out of it, there's no way we can reschedule it, there's no way we can postpone it. Are we to sit over in a corner and say, oh no, I'm getting ready to die. Oh, I'm just afraid, I'm just scared. No, 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 no. Let me give you what Solomon says. I'm going to tell you something. This is a great outline for every one of us tonight. Number one under this, 7 and 8, verses 7 and 8. Enjoy every day you have. Enjoy every day God gives you. This is found in verses 7 and 8. Now notice here that Solomon says to go eat and drink with a merry heart. He mentions to let our garments always be white. That's symbolic of purity. Be pure. And our head to lack no ointment. Ointment back in this day was symbolic of joy, rejoicing, being excited. The point here seems to be that because of coming death,
Solomon says, don't live in despair that death is coming, but rather enjoy the life God gives you each and every day. Like what one preacher put it, he said, don't become so preoccupied with death and forget that life is to be lived as a celebration of the goodness of God. He also said, God wants your attention in life to be focused on the joy of living, not the certainty of dying. You ever met people that they're just heading for the grave and that's just their whole demeanor. I'm dying. I can't help it. I'm just going to go die. I'm just going to go meet the undertaker. Friends, you are missing what life is about if you live life that way. God gives breath, gives life. Don't be so concerned about the coming death that you forget about the gift of life right now. I mean, it's exciting to have breath and air and my heart beating. And while I have this God-given life, let me enjoy every ounce of it. Let me say thank you, Jesus, for letting me live today. This is something to get in our hearts. Don't let death and coming death get you so disturbed that you miss the gift of right now. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. The point is death should motivate us to make every day a celebration. It's been said every person should celebrate every day he or she lives. Here's the point. Don't waste the God-given time He's given you because you're worried that you may not live to see tomorrow. Just enjoy today. Enjoy what God's given you. Now, folks, that's easier said than done, isn't it? You're looking at me tonight like I don't know if you missed your Sunday afternoon nap or what it was. I'm telling you tonight, here's what I'm saying. Don't miss God's gift to you today because you're worried about death and you don't know when it's coming. Now, we ought to get that in our hearts. We ought to have a smile on our face, in other words. Thank God I'm alive today. And let me live it to the fullest, understanding this could be the last day I have on earth. Now, that's point number one. It should motivate us to enjoy every day that we have. Point number two. And of all people to say this, it's Solomon. This man, excuse me now, I'm not trying to be crude. Here's a man that in his life he had and experienced 1,000 women. 1,000 of them. But yet he comes down to the end of his life. And when he's staring death in the face, and he says it ought to motivate us to do some things, here's the second thing he said it ought to motivate you to do. Number two, letter B, you ought to live joyfully with your mate every day of your life. Wow. Wow. Now, folks, Solomon continues this by saying, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity. Keep this in mind. I've already said it. The guy with 1,000 wives and mistresses is now warning us to stick with one wife and to live with her joyfully and love her for the duration of life. Do you understand the significance of this advice? This is like an old Hollywood, whatever you want to call them, okay? Going public to say the real secret of a great love life is to stick with one woman for life. The point here is understand that death should motivate married people to love one another like they've never loved one another. To live together joyfully with a smile on your face. Realizing when you got married, you got blessed. Amen. You say, I didn't get blessed. I made a mistake. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Look here, friends. Whoever you're married to, you ought to rejoice with, stay with, for the duration until Jesus comes. Solomon says death is coming, and what death does is it teaches you to stay married. Stay right with one another. Love your mate. Live with your mate joyfully. You say, well, I can live with him. I just don't know if he can be joyful or not, right? Well, fake it, okay? Live joyfully. Don't get me tickled on that, okay? One man put it this way, enjoy every day of marriage like you're on your honeymoon. Let that sink in a minute. Enjoy every day of your marriage as if you're on your honeymoon. Say, we never had one, Pastor, I'm telling you, you know. Here's the point. Solomon gets down to the end of life. He looks back on his life and he's experienced all these women. And he's thinking about death here. That's what he's thinking about. But basically in this chapter, that he's going to die. And now under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he's giving us God-given counsel. And he says, I'm going to tell you something to do in this life. You have hope. You have opportunity in this life on this earth. When you die, it's over with. And I'm telling you, because you're going to die and you can't get out of it, you ought to rejoice with your mate every day that God gives you. The point here is that we should not waste time arguing, fighting, complaining, but rather hold on to one another. Hold each other closely. Enjoy the marriage God has given you. For death is coming. Death is coming. I'm trying to encourage you tonight. By the way, there's no doubt in a crowd this size and all of this, some folks are divorced and remarried. I'm not talking about old things. I'm talking about right now. Where you are right now. You ought to determine right now that I'm going to stay with the wife or husband that I'm with and I'm not going to move. Solomon, he's given us some great counsel here. And one reason he says to do that is we're going to die. So we want to live life a way that pleases God. Let me give you a third thing he says that it ought to motivate us to do. It ought to motivate us now to enjoy every day that we have. It ought to motivate us to live joyfully with our mate every day that God gives. And then finally, it ought to motivate us to give life everything we have. Give 100%. A lot of people say 110%. Give everything you've got. Look at verse number 10. Whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with thy might. There's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. In this verse we read how Solomon said to do all we do with all of our might. He goes on to say that there's no work, device, knowledge, wisdom in the grave where we are going. The point here is death should motivate us to put everything we have into the life God has given us to live. In other words, work every day as if it were your last day to work. Kerry Smith, I encourage you to read anything you can get by him. He's the preacher who wrote the Dunn book that we give out here. He's a great preacher. He put it this way, whatsoever you find to do, give it everything you've got. Do it passionately and purposefully. Soon enough, this life will pass, so get on with your clear purpose while you have breath. Time is fleeting. Tomorrow's no guarantee. So zero in on your God-given work. Do it, love it, and thrive in it. We see through the first portion of Ecclesiastes a self-driven man despairing over how ragged life has run him, talking about Solomon. You would think his answer when he comes down to the end of this, like he's talking here, you'd think he'd come down and say, stop the madness, just sit on the beach sipping Snapple for the rest of your life. You'd think that's what Solomon would say. But he says, no. The truth of death coming, the answer, it's not to be passive. It's not to be disengaged. The answer is engagement with a better Lord, a deeper passion, his greater call. This self-driven man is now a God-driven man. The idolater is now a worshiper, and his worship compels him to serve his God with purpose and passion. Romans chapter 12, verse 11 says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Colossians 3, 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. In other words, understand that what you're doing, give your life to the right things. And when you put your hand to the plow, you give it everything you've got. Don't you dare go at it halfway. Don't you dare pull up on God. Don't you dare hold back on the Lord. No, you expend yourself. Give it everything you've got, realizing that that is your opportunity on earth to serve Jesus Christ. Give him everything. Tell him to spend your life. This is what Solomon's saying. You put all these things together that we've discussed tonight. Just these things tonight. We're talking about going back to the third point that I just mentioned, but that death is coming to all. And death ends some things. It ends hope on earth. It ends opportunity on earth to earn rewards and to love and not hate. And death should motivate us to live every day that we have joyfully. And it should motivate us that we who are married should stay with our mate and not try to get out of it, but just live joyfully with our mates, enjoying one another every day of our life. And it ought to motivate us that whatever God's given us to do, put your whole heart into it. Don't hold back on God. Put all these thoughts together. Let me summarize. People need to think about what they don't want to think about. We're talking about death. We need to think about this one event. It helps us put our lives in perspective. It helps us think about what's valuable. It helps us think about what people mean to us, to think what the world would be like without them. It makes something happen in our hearts and says, as long as there is life, there is hope and there is opportunity. Some people deny death, hoping against hope that it will not happen. Some people ignore death, pretending that it's not coming. Solomon says that the right approach is to recognize that death is coming and live differently because of it. We should embrace the days God gives us and live them to the full. Eat every meal as though it's a party. Live every day. Live every day we're married as though we're on our honeymoon. Work every day as though it's our final achievement. Life doesn't always turn out as we would like. As Solomon says, the race is not always to the swift later on. But if we are grateful for each day we are given, we will live well and end our day satisfied. In other words, let me paraphrase all of this. Let us allow the truth of impending death to motivate us to live for Jesus and not waste the gift of time the Lord has given to us right now to do something for Him. Don't waste today, the gift of today, with your wife, with your work, with your emotions. Don't waste it. Give it all to God, realizing that today could be the last day on earth you have to do anything for Jesus Christ. Are you with me tonight? What a thought. What a motivating thought this should be. That I'm going to die. And my response would be, oh no. What am I going to do? No. I'm going to die. And that truth should motivate me to say, okay, I can't change that. I don't know when it's coming. But I know I'm here now. God, what do you want me to do right now? And let me put my whole heart into what He wants me to do. You got it? If you don't have it, I'm going to start all over again. Do you have it? Do you get this thought? Yes. Let us allow death to motivate us to be more like Jesus and not waste our time. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, would you bless this? Would you help us with this? Would you guide us into this truth? Help us not to get away from it. Help us to understand it. And help us to act upon it. Now, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I want to walk through what I've walked through with you tonight, these thoughts that we shared with you tonight about death. That, folks, death ends some things. And what death ends, specifically in this particular passage that we're studying, is death ends hope. Now, we know for the child of God beyond the grave, death is going to open the gateway to see our hope, who's the Lord Jesus Christ. But folks, we're not talking about eternity right here in chapter 9. He's talking about earth on earth, your life on earth. In other words, there's things right now that may be going on in your life that the devil tries to whisper, there's no hope in that. It's over with. You might as well throw in the towel. I've got news for you. A living dog's better than a dead lion. What's that mean? That means that if you're alive, there is still hope. If you're alive, don't throw in the towel. God can come through for you. Or maybe the Lord spoke to you about the opportunity that you have on earth. The opportunity to earn rewards that he's talking about. That there's no more rewards to those that go to the grave. So the opportunity to earn rewards someday. It all ends when you die. Your opportunity to do all you can for Jesus. Your opportunity to love and not hate. Your opportunity not to waste time but to invest your time. What about the opportunity God's given you? Well, maybe God's speaking to you about just enjoying every day that you have. Maybe you're kind of a worry wart. Maybe you're one of these folks that you just, life is drudgery for you. I mean, you're just down in the dumps all the time. And the Holy Spirit of God says, wait a minute, I don't want you to live your God-given time that way. I want you to have a smile on your face, rejoicing, enjoying the life I've given you. Understanding that today could be the only day you have left. Don't waste it by being worried and fretful and down in the dump. No, no, no. Get in. I mean, eat and drink with a merry heart and enjoy the life God's given you. Well, maybe God's speaking to you about your marriage. Maybe you just want to come thank God for your marriage tonight. Maybe you want to come and say, God, help us to stay together in the right way, in the right spirit. Or maybe you want to come and say, God, thank you for the mate that you've given me. I'm going to tell you something, friends. When you have a mate who loves God and loves you, you are blessed indeed. And we ought to rejoice in our heart for what God has given us. No doubt about it. But every married couple, no matter who you are, you ought to make a fresh decision in your heart and mind tonight. Honey, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. By the grace of God. I'm telling you, God wants us to commit ourselves like this, fresh and new. Or maybe God's speaking to you tonight about just giving it 100%. Maybe you've been going through life 75%, 80%, 50%. And God's just lit a fire under you tonight and say, you know what? This is the only time I know I have for sure. God, help me never to waste it, but help me to give you 100% every day of my life to fully expend myself for the cause of Jesus Christ. This is it. This is it. I know it's not encouraging as they begin to play through softly. I know it's not encouraging that death is coming. I know that. That's not an encouraging thought. But it can be a life-changing thought. It can change our life and make a difference to help us be more like Jesus. Let's all stand together, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, take it, use it, I pray. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As Brother Gary begins to sing, if God is speaking to you, and you want to come and thank God for speaking
I'll
to you,
I'll live
would you come?
For
come
Jesus.
On. Say, help me live for you every day of my life. Help me not
I'll
to waste
live
my time.
For Jesus.
Help me to give you everything.
Let come what may.
100%.
Oh, Holy Spirit, I will obey and live for Jesus. Day after day, through every day, new joy I find. He gives to me real peace of mind until that day when Christ I see. I'll live for Jesus who died for me.
Standing there, I'd like you to look this direction. Going back to the first of the service when we were talking about seeing the Lord. I know we're human beings and sometimes we're hot, sometimes we're cold. We all understand that. But the fact of the matter is it's a good thing to think and meditate upon the time when you see the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. Aren't you glad He gave you everything? He gave everything. He held back nothing. And because of that, I want to praise Him, don't you? I want to glorify Him. I want Him to get glory from my life. And folks, I'm saying that there's coming a day when we will see the face of Jesus Christ. We're going to see Him. You say, what does God look like? Who will we see? We will see God. His name is Jesus. We will see the Lord. You with me? Every opportunity you have to do something for Him on earth, today could be your last chance to do it. Don't waste it. Amen. Amen. Don't waste it. Away with the envy. Away with the hatred. Away with the jealousy. Away with not having a marriage that's right with God. Away with doing all these things against God. Away with that. Understand, hey, He's been so good to us, and we want to serve Him. We want to have rewards to cast at His feet. I want some crowns to lay at His feet. Hey, my opportunity to earn those crowns end when I die. And I want to look at the Lord. I want to. I don't think I can, but I want to. And say, I gave it everything I had. Don't you want to do that? I don't know if anybody ever will be able to say that fully. But we ought to have a desire to. This is it. This is what I'm trying to preach tonight. Don't waste life. Give it to God. Let Him have His way with you. Let's pray together, shall we? Ask God to seal these things in our hearts. Remind all the teen parents, and is it teens and teen parents? You're meeting right in here, right afterwards. Let's seal these things in our hearts. I'd like to ask Brother Eugene Radford, if you wouldn't mind, sir, to lift your voice. Ask God to seal these things in our heart and help us not to waste our God-given time, but to give Him everything we have. If you wouldn't mind to pray, sir, please.
Parents and teens, come this way. As soon as they're done, ladies' ensemble, we'll practice at the piano.